News, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Alaska Air flights are taking off again after an IT outage last night that brought the entire fleet to a standstill. CBS's Michael Toscano.
Operations have resumed, but the airline said there will likely be what they called residual impacts to their flights as they reposition aircraft and crews.
The pilot of a Delta regional flight from Minneapolis was coming in for a landing in Minot, North Dakota, when he told passengers he had to swerve to avoid colliding with a B-52 bomber. New heat domes expected to settle in the south and midwest this week. WWL-TV meteorologist Alexa Trischler from New Orleans.
Feels like temperatures heat into season the coming days, Monday and Tuesday, up to 109 to maybe 112. Scorching heat the next several days. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. You'll want to have water.
If you're set to call it a career.
The top five states for retirees are, in this order, New Hampshire, Maine, Wyoming, Vermont, in Idaho.
Bank rate Stephen Cates, CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. ATV UTVing has become a wildly popular activity in the state. The combination of increased usage and not much maintenance on county trails brings community partners together to make the trails better.
We're improving the ATV trails. They haven't been really touched in like 3 years, so we're kind of improving them, making them easier route. They're pretty muddy.
That's Alyssa Whitman. She works for the Department of Natural Resources Division of Forestry, stationed out of the Wisconsin Rapid Service Center. Whitman said she was operating a John Deere bulldozer to make improvements on the trail, filling in low areas and making the routes better. Their department uses the bulldozer for fire suppression in the spring, and then it can be utilized for other project work throughout the year. They open up the work to other stations in the area so DNR staff can put in the hours they need to retain their certification.
So each operator needs 30 equipment hours each year on our dozers, so each operator in the department has 30 hours to give. We're just kind of helping out our county partners.
Whitman said operators from the Friendship and Plover Ranger stations will spend time on the dozer working on trails throughout the county. It not only helps them attain the minimum amount of hours needed to retain their qualifications on the equipment, but also helps improve the trail systems in the county for recreational users. In more ATV UTV news, the Wisconsin DNR urges families to take safety seriously when operating these vehicles, especially when children are riding. So far this year, 21 people have been killed in ATV UTV crashes. Remember, helmets are required for all riders under age 18. Youth under 16 must operate age-appropriate vehicles and have completed an ATV safety certification course. Parental supervision is strongly encouraged, even for certified riders. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers landing in Seattle last night. They open a three-game set tonight against the Mariners. The Brewers, the hottest team in baseball. They've won 10 in a row. They beat the Dodgers yesterday 6-5 to complete a three-game sweep in L.A. Now the Dodgers get media coverage from Los Angeles and networks in Japan. A reporter asked Pat Murphy, how do you beat a World Series team with Shohei Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw, with guys like Isaac Collins or Caleb Durbin?
It's a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of. No disrespect to great fans of Japan baseball, but they can't name five players in our lineup. They can't name two in today's lineup. And that's just a credit to hungry players. And, you know, the Dodgers are running into tough luck, and they're not playing their best baseball, and they'll get back on track and be a juggernaut that they are. But, you know, I'm still proud of our club and what they did and, you know, how they competed in big situations. And, yeah, you know, a bunch of average Joes.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to the low 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. It's going to be warm and muggy with a high in the low to mid 80s with scattered thunderstorms possible by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand. when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome director-producer John Roach at Max Inc. Radio's Rocker joins me in studio for some Atwood Fest chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning. It is July 21st, 2025, and let's see, we've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly here. We've got Parker Olson producing this shindig in Madison Studio A2. Up North News reporter Selena Heller joins us from Eau Claire. And Lord willing and a fair wind blowing to carry the signal, we have meteorologist Brittany Merlot at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, where she once again is camping as naturally as possible, sleeping bag in a swamp. She's crawled out of it to join us here and tell us what's happened. Look at that. That is a broadcast quality microphone right there. You can fly that thing into Air Venture. Brittany, how are you?
I am doing pretty good. Okay. It's been an event so far, just trying to set up camp. You know, last night got a little chilly. There was definitely dew out there. I was freezing for a minute or two, but we've got power, we've got signal, we've got internet, so we've got a weather forecast for you today. It is exciting. The gates just opened here at EAA. People are coming in for the first time this year. Planes are already taking off. I mean, about 10,000 planes come to this air show, about 700,000 people attend it. And there's about 40,000 people camping alongside with me right now. The campsite is packed and we are all excited. And the weather couldn't be any better. The sun is shining right now. The wind is blowing. It is a bit breezy. So it's a crisp morning. Temperatures outside across the state, 48 to about 66 degrees. Nice and refreshing. We're going to stay cool and crisp today with no humidity really seeping in. Low 70s to low 80s for our high temperatures. And then we are looking at some light rain possible far northwest in the state this afternoon. Maybe a thunderstorm or two, but very small. None are going to be severe. And then as we go through tomorrow, that's when the active weather starts to surge in a little bit more. This whole week looks a little wet for a lot of us. By tomorrow afternoon, we're looking at some storms up north and then mid to upper 80s. Yeah, it's going to be muggy, hot, and humid as we go through the next rest of this week. So this is the most refreshing, sweat-free I think I'll be. and it's going to get down and down and down from here, so I apologize for that, you guys.
No, we're very excited for you. You've got a great setup there. You're right outside one of the gate entrances there. I noticed you're on the far side of the gate, so they haven't kicked you out yet if you haven't officially walked in. So this is a good thing. Are you looking forward to seeing something in particular today as things get opened up?
Ooh, good question. I think the first day for me is more like get the feel of the grounds. What is here? Where is everything at? Because it's massive. You do a lot of walking, so make sure you got the right shoes. Check things out. I want to find the blimps, but I don't think they're here just yet. And definitely all the military airplanes and different homemade aircraft. I am actually camping next to a guy who built his own airplane. So I kind of want to go see that. It's inside there as well.
Oh, built his own airplane.
Isn't that the dream?
No, it's the nightmare, Brittany. If somebody said something, hey, terrifying. I built this. You want to go up in it? No, yeah. I do not. But you have a lot more faith that way. And that's what you and 700,000 friends are all, you know, better and more trustworthy for it. So, but I did see as I looked through there, there's I mean, there's little seminars or demonstrations on like everything, like building your own plane and what kind of fabric to, you know, goes best around, you know, the body and the wings and things like that. There's the military demonstrations, like you said. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're just the rankest amateur or the most seasoned professional. There is something for you to see and learn something about there.
There really is. Like I started off not knowing anything, and now my knowledge has just grown specifically from this event. So it is really cool. They're even having some YouTube, Facebook, how to be a star on that. I mean, they're giving talks about everything. It's not just aviation. It's anything related to it. And NOAA is here. The National Weather Service is here. So lots of meteorology nerds as well.
If I can ask as well from like an infrastructure standpoint, I get that all these people are going to be here to see all of that. But again, you got to take care of all these folks. How much like a fair is it in the sense of like concessions? And I mean, are there more than six porta potties? Because I'm sure this thing has grown over the years and they've had to learn the hard way that you actually have to feed these folks and give them things to do. Or how are the facilities?
Oh, they are really, really good up until about, I'm not going to lie, Saturday night, I'm sorry, you guys, it's going to be a little rough out there by the end of the week, but these are the best porta potties I have ever seen.
Oh, my.
I know. It's the weirdest thing to say, but they are the cleanest. They clean them every single day, multiple times a day. The food, there's plenty of vendors inside. There's even nice restaurants like outdoor rooftop bars, things like that. It is, they've got it all here. And then plus for the campers, we also have stores on site. So we have places to go get ice and food and things to cook and wood and salad or something. But if you're inside the gate, you're going to pay those inside gate prices, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Selena, does this compare at all with the air show you were doing for the Chippewa Valley, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I know, and from your standpoint, Brittany, I know we have to have a like emergency preparedness kind of plan in place, and we go through that. I mean, we have a whole specific team just for that, and we all know what we need to do if something happens. And that actually went through, a storm went through one of the years not too long ago, a few shows ago, and it just poured, and the wind blew the porta potties over, and so it was just kind of, we had to take things right away. So I know you probably have a plan like that in place there too.
Yes, we absolutely do. We have warning sirens and stuff like that. So the National Weather Service and the meteorologists here will come on and let everybody know that a storm is incoming. They try to give us at least 45 to 30 minutes warning so we can move and get out of here, because again, it's a lot of walking to get to safety. But we've got the EAA Museum as our shelter, and we'll see how it goes. But it's going to be an active week as we move into later in this week for sure here in Oshkosh.
I got to think, for all the stuff that they need, Kristen, that somebody would have at some point asked you if you wanted to be one of the volunteer docs there. I'm sure they've got medical staff on call around that area.
They've got everything. They are so well equipped because they've been doing this. I mean, how many years? It's been, what, 40 years? More than that.
Yeah, more than 50 something now at this point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they have everything. Please go. It sounds intimidating, 700,000 people. They know how to handle the crowds. And the things that you see and the things that you'll learn are incredible.
All right.
Absolutely.
Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Hazy sunshine in 58, because, yeah, we've got that Canadian wildfire smoke moving back in the area, don't we, here?
We do.
Okay. I worked on my lawn tractors, getting them ready for more mowing jobs today in Wittenberg. There was storm damage from Saturday morning in northeastern Marathon and northwestern Shawano counties from high winds and hail. He says, I heard the planes over my house yesterday headed toward Oshkosh. They also had a plane fly out in Wausau heading toward the EAA. Yes. We were talking about it being National Junk Food Day. He says, I have a bad habit of eating Hershey bars with nuts and a bowl of ice cream and loads of chocolate toppings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. And he too remembered the Captain and Tennille variety show back in the 1970s. He loved hearing Kristen sing along during the commercial break to the Captain and Tennille, and said she should be singing every day. Brittany is a shining star of the EAA. He says it's like farm progress days for the agricultural community. And then Alicia was chiming in as well, saying, woohoo, she's going to be searching for Brittany when she gets down there. And she says home builds are awesome, meaning home built airplanes, compared to, she says, again, as a veteran, our military aircraft are held together with duct tape and hopes and dreams. And Tony asking on YouTube, I thought Noah got fired by the government. Well, I'm sure that'll be a discussion point out there as well.
Yes. Oh, it will.
there will be a lot to talk about there. All right. Will we see you in an hour, Brittany, or will you already be on a blimp or something by then?
No, I'm going to hang out with you guys.
Oh, bless your heart. All right, good. We'll see you in a little while. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
Hey, remember, you can sign up at Up North News for our daily newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And remember, today, it's about the EAA. So you can learn a bit more about that. And not just what's at the show, but what goes into putting on AirVenture, which includes a whole lot of volunteers, the people from the Oshkosh community who truly make this thing happen. So you can sign up again on our website. You can also sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter. That one has much more of a political bent to it. And we ask about candidate for governor Bill Berrien running ads already for governor, more than a year before the primary. But of course, nobody knows who Bill Berrien is. You know, he's a guy that runs a business and he wants to be governor. So in the newsletter on Sunday morning, I asked, what is your impression of a candidate running ads this early? Is it, you know, I hate it, and if I see ads that early, I'm immediately going to dislike this person and never vote for them? Or is your answer, I get it, I don't like it, but if you got to build name ID, it's what you got to do? Or is it option C, you actually like that? You like when somebody is advertising early. It shows that they're, you know, they've got a lot of initiative and that they are worthy of your attention. Well, needless to say, gang, a lot of people pick an A. They do not like the political ads a year in advance. But it's far from unanimous. There are enough people saying B. They get it. They understand it. And there are a couple of folks already saying, you know, that they admire that somebody wants to jump in. I think that might be more politics driven, that maybe they're not Tony Evers fans and they're just happy that somebody is running ads for governor right now. But, you know, Kristen, you know, along with me from being a candidate, there's a whole different strategy on when you start advertising, because once you do, I mean, you're burning money now instead of raising it.
Yeah, but I think here in Wisconsin, we have so many elections and we as a swing state are so targeted. So there are so many ads and also unlimited money. So I think, based on conversations that I've had with friends and neighbors, that people just are tired of it. Like, people want to enjoy the summer and they want to go to EAA and they don't want to be thinking about politics, because politics is always looming over us right now.
Yeah, people love to have a little break. Like, even Selena, you're at Country Jam this weekend and there was no chance this time around that there'd be any candidates, you know, on the outside of the ground shaking hands or anything like that. It was, everybody got the full escape this time as you were out there, I would assume.
Yeah.
Or are you going to tell me that up on the Jumbotron between acts, there was a Bill Berrien governor commercial or something like that?
I didn't see any. No, I didn't see any. We did have some fun there. The artist did with the whole Coldplay incident and put the camera on some people, and they did the whole ducking and covering really quickly.
That really tapped into some cultural things that are happening right now, didn't it?
Oh, did it ever? My goodness. And I don't remember if we asked on air or off air who you saw somebody, one group that you were particularly impressed with.
Well, yeah,
oh, Bailey Zimmerman. Bailey. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
I had no idea. And then so come to find out, he's a great performer. Oh my goodness. Very high energy. Wore Packers gear coming out of the gate. And then he takes it off and he throws it, signs it, throws it into the crowd, and then puts on something else. A lot of changes of his outfits. And then he came out again with a Love jersey on. So he really caters to the crowd, but very great performer.
Gotcha.
And I think he's Tony's distant cousin.
No, I don't think so, but you know, never know. Roger in Stevens Point puts on Facebook, we played Duran Duran last segment, saying A View to Kill is the only James Bond theme to reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
That's a true fact.
And Tony responds with, that's what this show was made for, Duran Duran history. You know,
let's keep doing it.
that would make you so happy. When we come back, Selena Heller had a chance to talk to Corrine Hendrickson, who is having to close up her childcare business and is also contemplating a run for office as well. That and so much more ahead on these mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710 and I can build the perfect package for your business.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 18th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Welcoming to, on the WFHR phone line, our good friend, Senator Patrick Teston, joins us once a month. Sir, how you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Yourself?
Doing good. Enjoying this weather, I'll tell you that. Really enjoyed this weather as long as we've got it. A lot of good baseball. We'll be talking more about that in a little bit as well. But I'm glad to hear you're doing good, and I appreciate you being able to make the time. We always and appreciate you joining us. There's really one big headline we got to touch on right away, and that is, of course, the passing of the state budget. By now, most of our listeners have had a chance to, I'm sure, read every single word in that document. By now, I think that, and I bring that up for as a point, sir, because I think that this budget, one of the things that stood out to me when I talk to people, and I have friends and family that are on both sides of the aisle, and it's certainly a key part of this job to cover information on both sides of the aisle. This feels like, on the surface, like a lot of debates do, like a lot of negotiations do. Both parties leave a little happy, a little unhappy. That's kind of how negotiating works.
Yeah, I mean, this budget process was a very unique one, probably the most unique one that I've been a part of, and especially as the co-vice chair of the Finance Committee. So, you know, there's a lot of back and forth, a lot of negotiations, and, you know, I was really happy with the end result, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head where not everyone was 100% happy with the final product, because this is the art of compromise. We have divided government, but I think we landed in a good spot. We were able to deliver over $1.5 billion in tax relief. We were able to invest significant resources into infrastructure, our ARIP program, our LRIP program. We got a number of new buildings enumerated for the UW system, including Century Hall at UWSB. So There were a lot of wins, and, you know, there were some things I wasn't necessarily thrilled about, but given the fact that, you know, we had to negotiate with the governor and even some of our Senate Democrat colleagues, I think we came up with a budget that, you know, puts us on the right track, moves the needle forward, and you know, it was really unique. What was unique about this is that as we negotiated this, our state budget, it was on a parallel track with the federal spending bill that was signed into law by President Trump. And what was unique about that is that if we had not passed the budget in time before he signed, you know, what he dubs the Big Beautiful Bill, we would have lost out on significant resources as it relates to our hospital assessment. And when you take a look at some of the challenges that we face in this budget, you know, the cost continuing, our Medicaid budget was roughly $1.6 billion. Had we not passed this budget before the president signed the federal spending bill into law, Wisconsin would have lost significant resources. And thankfully, we were able to get that done. It was a lot of give and take. In fact, even from a process standpoint, typically after we vote on the budget out of the Joint Finance Committee, usually, you know, there's about 3 to 4 days where our Legislative Fiscal Bureau and our Reference Bureau, they put the budget in the legalese. Well, to pull the curtain back, we were basically still working in real time and delivering the language piecemeal to the governor so he could go through line item by line item and be able to sign that bill at 1:32 in the morning. So we got it done. It's over. It's behind us. But there's a lot of things to hang our hat on. And the big one is tax relief, infrastructure investments, and just happy that we got the budget signed, sealed, and delivered, and the governor signed it.
When it comes to what your constituents are saying or what you're hearing, what are they giving you as far as a positive and a negative as far as this bill?
Yeah, I mean, I've had the opportunity now after we voted on the budget and the governor signed it to be back in district, you know, during the 4th of July parades the last couple weeks. And you know, the big takeaway, I think, from what I've heard from my constituents is that people are just glad that while we have divided government, we are able to come up with a compromise, put aside some of our differences. And I think that's what people are looking for. And, you know, there are some areas that, you know, certainly I think depending on who you ask, folks on the right will tell you they're not happy with the overall increase. You know, that our budget has now is going to spend $111 billion over the course of the next 2 years. But what I would counter with is that, you know, there's a lot more federal money coming into the state. But when you take a look at our general purpose revenue, you know, it was only about a 5 to 6% increase compared to the last state budget. And so, you know, from my standpoint, while some may criticize us for the overall spend, a lot of this is federal funds that are coming in for programs like Medicaid and other federal administered programs. So I guess that's where I would leave it at.
When it comes to child care, we did see some positives regarding that with the budget, but I'm also hearing from people that we feel like there's still some room to grow there and some concern there. Certainly, you know, I'm not touching on necessarily the bill that was passed by, you know, I'm talking about the state budget mainly and focusing on that. And when it comes to that, there was some concern. I had Matt Lippert, UW Extension's ag agent, in yesterday, and there were some concerns about how this budget might affect our ag industry and some of the funds going towards that. Are you guys focusing on what you can do to kind of ease that for our ag industry and helping them out?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. In fact, just earlier this week, I was on a healthcare panel with a lot of different policy experts as it relates to things like Medicaid and, you know, the potential implications of the Big Beautiful Bill. And, you know, we're going to see how that shakes out. I think we are well positioned here in the state to weather any potential changes. Healthcare, that was one area that there were a lot of negotiations between legislative leadership and the governor's office. And using some of the federal money that the governor had at his disposal to continue programs like child care accounts for another year, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done on that front. You know, personally, I think we have to think outside the box. You know, it's great that, you know, we're going to continue this for the next year, but from a long-term sustainable side of things, we have to find a better solution to prop up this industry. And, you know, I think we made some strides on that front, but there's still plenty of more work that needs to be done to addressing childcare shortages here in the state, and really what I think.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We don't have a farm bill and commodity prices continue to crater. So why are Wisconsin farmers still optimistic? I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. We'll find out an answer next.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Jeff Hatacek is an assistant professor in the Agriculture and Applied Economics Department on the UW-Madison campus. He said a recent survey done by Purdue University shows, despite all the pitfalls that Wisconsin farmers are working around, they remain optimistic about their future.
I think when it comes to farmer sentiment, you know, I'm actually surprised. I think farmers are generally more optimistic than I would have anticipated if I would have expected to be at this point here in July. You know, my colleagues at Purdue do this ag barometer, and they test sort of current farmer sentiment and their prospects about the future. And even though, you know, they acknowledge, farmers generally acknowledge that trade uncertainty is harmful for their economic bottom line, I think they're still optimistic that in the long run, you know, these negotiations will result in a little bit more favorable outcomes.
Jeff Hatacek, he's an assistant professor in the Department of Applied and Agriculture Economics on the UW-Madison campus. He said the big, beautiful bill recently adopted into law actually has about 90% of what normally would be included in a farm bill. He said farmers remain optimistic that some of the trade negotiations going on will benefit them in the long run.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And it looks like your palate is going to get a surprise at this year's Wisconsin State Fair on Friday. The State Fair announced that they're looking at nearly 100 brand new foods and 16 new food and beverage vendors joining in them for the big event coming up in August. Things like Dubai Funnel Cake, Pineapple Sunrise, Dill Dog Dorito Bombs are some new food opportunities they've added to the list. More details available now at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to the low 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. It's going to be warm and muggy with a high in the low to mid 80s with scattered thunderstorms possible by tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Smoke. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time after a massage, a chiropractor appointment, and some sleep. We'll be back with regular programming from Madison on Monday. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
.735 Welcome back. Nice to have you here live from Lake Wissota and from the Green Bay area as well, where Dr. Kristen Lyerly is hanging around with us in what a green long sleeve something that at first I thought was just a just another Packer jersey, but no, is that from Wellstone Action by chance?
No, this is from the DFL.
Oh, from the Minnesota Democratic Party, the DFL, mm-hmm. Democratic Farmer Labor Party, a Paul Wellstone shirt in honor of the anniversary of his birth today.
Yes, and Corinne's statement and the fact that the purpose of government is to serve the people. And that's not what's happening right now, but that is exactly what Paul Wellstone stood for. So mm-hmm. in solidarity.
That was nice. We don't often get a lot of costume changes here on the radio. So
yeah,
appreciate you going from Bay Beach to Paul Wellstone. So that's mm-hmm. great. So we've both been candidates. We've both been in races that either looked at having potential primaries, or, a lot of discussions about, well, who should run. And you've talked about people running for assembly or Senate or Congress and, which race is right for them. And the, chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, who's also a Democrat, the, chairmanship, flips, between Democrat and Republican chairs. Anyway, put up a post about primaries because there's been a little bit of, if not controversy, then discussion in a couple of different legislative districts about to what degree either the state party or others, are influencing whether there will be a primary or not. And for me, this began when Corrine Hendrickson mentioned that she was thinking of running in the 17th State Senate District down there near Southwest Wisconsin. Because I knew that recently State Representative Jenna Jacobson had announced that she was running for the race. And when I hear that a state legislator is going to be running, like state rep is going to run for state Senate, I have to admit, I assume like, okay, well, the decks have been cleared and that's what's going to be the case. And we had Robin Vining announce, that she's going to be running against Senator Rob Hutton of Brookfield. And you find out that that's not necessarily so, that there are other people interested in running. So to what degree is a primary good or bad? And down in the 17th Senate District there was a long Facebook post. Brick Cider is the Facebook account, and somebody talking about their desire to explore a run for state Senate. And they felt like they were talked out of or maybe intimidated out of running by a group called the SSDC, the State Senate Democratic Committee. Now, the SSDC is not exactly the same thing as the state party. This is the political caucus for the Democratic members of the state Senate. So there's the SSDC, the State Senate Democratic Committee, and the ADCC, the Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee. And they obviously get involved in recruiting candidates, just as at the congressional level, Kristen and I were both, not recruited, hounded by the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And in all cases, Kristen, well-meaning folks, but that does not necessarily make them, the be-all and end-all experts on local races.
I have so many thoughts on this. First of all, to make it very clear, the SSDC's job is to recruit people to run for state Senate, and the ADCC's job is to recruit people to run for assembly. And the DTRIPS is to get people to run for Congress all over the country. So there are bodies that do that work. And there are seats that they focus on that really can make a difference, where they look at the numbers and they think this is a seat that we can win. So they want to make sure that that's a great competitive district. So they tend to put a lot of time and energy and effort into these districts. And the 17th Senate District here in Wisconsin, which goes from South Central Wisconsin all the way over to Southwestern Wisconsin, is one of those districts. They want that candidate to be the shiniest, best supported, greatest fundraiser, all of those things. And when they find somebody who they think is that person, they elevate that person. But when there are other people who are on the outside and don't have the same connections and maybe the same background, it's harder to break through. And it can be a challenge. But I would say, as somebody who actually helps to recruit and support candidates in Northeast Wisconsin, A primary is not a bad thing. A primary is an opportunity to talk about what you care about and to get your voice out there. And if it's done well and in a positive way, and that's what people want to see, they really, really want to see good people talking about the things that they care about, it could be a really great thing for our democracy as a whole.
And I'm saying, for the sake of argument, not to disagree, but to give the other side of the argument on this, is that primaries take up resources mm-hmm. that could be used against, in this case, the Republican incumbent, Howard Markline in Senate District 17, Rob Hutton over in the Milwaukee suburbs. And so there are groups that, you know, very much try to dissuade people from announcing if they think that there's a candidate. So Ann Jacobs, who's an attorney and the Democratic chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, has seen all this. And I wanted to share her thoughts on this that she posted over the weekend. It's 4 points. Number one, primaries are neither inherently good nor bad. For example, good, create awareness of the race, strengthen the candidate message. Bad, siphon dollars needed for the race and damage the eventual candidate. Yeah, especially if it's a negative primary. We've mm-hmm. definitely seen that. Number two, the job of the SSDC and similar funding orgs is not to hand out participation trophies to everyone who indicates they are interested in running. Their stated goal is to fund the candidate they think most likely to succeed. That is a political decision. Three, running for office takes more than, I think I'm very smart and have good ideas. Maybe you are smart and have great ideas. You also need to have a plan on how to run, how to convince people to vote for you, how to find resources to fund you. Running for office is hard. That's why there are various training groups to help you learn to do it, like the aforementioned Wellstone Action. If you're not willing to do or have not done the work on these logistics, people will not consider you a serious candidate. And four, if you really want to run, all you need are nomination paper signatures on some documents. If what is stopping you is that people aren't supporting your effort, then perhaps it is time for some introspection on why that is. And I mean, that was amazingly blunt and, you know, says it all, makes the case right there for, you know, don't be whining if SSDC, ADCC, or DCCC goes with somebody else because, you know, they've got a job to do.
Well, I'll say ultimately it comes down to, do the people support you? So if you are not coming into this race with support of the people and you can't garner that kind of support, then maybe you're not the right person. Maybe you are a support person for the person who's going to be the candidate. And, you know, I'll use an example. When I ran for Congress in the last cycle, there were three of us who stepped up. There were three of us who wanted to run for that same seat. And what we decided to do was put our heads together. Before any of us filed, we started to get media attention. We started talking to people and we tried to figure out where we all fit into this process. And we knew we all had a role there, but we didn't know what our individual roles would be. And as time played out and as we had more conversations with people, it became very clear where we all belonged. So there's a way to do that, working collectively together. I think one of the tricks with candidates, though, is that in order to be a candidate, you have to have some, like, a little, like, maybe a little touch of narcissism, maybe.
What?
Us? So everybody thinks, like, I'm the right person, and you have to be able to set that aside and mm-hmm. be there for the people.
There was a quite a response on that post from Ann Jacobs by State Senator Kelda Royce, and it was responding to somebody who wanted to know more about what is the SSDC and the ADCC. And so Senator Kelda Royce put up, the State Senate Democratic Committee is made up of the Democratic senators in Wisconsin, and our only job is to win the majority. We have limited resources and time, and so we work our butts off to recruit and support our Democratic candidates in every seat. We have been incredibly successful protecting all of our incumbents and flipping all four even slightly competitive seats in the last cycle where we faced national headwinds. Now, we have the possibility of a Democratic trifecta for the first time in 15 years. I personally will again raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for these candidates. The idea that Democratic senators who are doing this, work should never get involved in supporting candidates in must-win seats until after the primary, especially in cases where there is a very strong standout candidate, is crazy. We need to be smart with our resources and time. Anybody gets to run for anything. It's not hard to get on the ballot. But to earn my support personally, someone has to share my core values and show that they are capable of doing the work to win. It is really hard to get elected, especially in these critical seats where the races now cost millions of dollars. And you have to oust a powerful, well-funded, well-known Republican incumbent. Why would anyone who shares our values want us to sit on the sidelines for a year when doing so has cost us seats in previous cycles? So again, a very full-throated defense of how the SSDC and the ADCC run things, but I will be the first to tell you it's not going to sit well with other folks who feel like they're being, you know, excluded from tapping into resources simply because there is, here's that word, an anointed candidate. People in Democratic circles, probably Republican too, hate the impression that one candidate is being anointed to run. So, Kristen, what you just explained, I watched you guys in this process last year, multiple people, you know, looking at where they fit in with the right race. From my distance over here, looked like a textbook case of how to find the strongest candidates in the strongest seats and give yourselves every opportunity to win.
Because we have a common goal, which is to win so that we can do the work for the people. And, you know, I think another really important point here, Pat, is our primary is late.
Yes.
Our primary isn't until August, and the general is in early November. So if we have competitive primaries, we don't have a lot of time to line up behind that one candidate between August and November. It seems like a lot of time, but it actually isn't in an election cycle. So that's why we really have to do a lot of that work in advance of the primary. And that's why the work of the SSDC and the ADCC is so important. Having said that, if you are thinking about running, start having conversations with people. Talk about the talk to the people in your community. Talk to the leaders. Talk to the electeds. That is ultimately government is people working together for the good of the people. So start working together now. It's not too late.
No, it's not. And again, every district is going to be different. Every candidate is different. And that takes us to, you know, the third congressional district where there are three Democrats running already, three women, all from the Chippewa Valley, interested in running. One ran last year and was very competitive with Derek Van Orden. And there are definitely people who feel like the decks should be cleared for Becca Cook to run and be the nominee again. But part of the reason there are already two other candidates is this feeling of, well, she had her turn or she gave it her best and now we want to give it a try. The, you know, obviously a lot of powers that be say, no, this was our nominee. They're in the strongest position. I don't envy any of them. And I frankly feel, I don't know if blessed is the right word, but I get to provide a forum here for everybody. All three of those candidates know they can come here, make their best case. They know where I stand as a former elected official is everybody come here, make your case, but then come the day after the primary. If you are not full with a full-throated endorsement of your nominee, you're the bad guy in this case. And I'm not going to lie. There's some people very close to me who were the bad guys last year when, you know, there was a nominee and you know, the least amount was done possible for the nominee in some of these races. We all, you know, who are invested in November have to come together after the primary and go, this is the way forward, as difficult as it is.
Right. This isn't a time to hold grudges. This is a time to work together to make the change that we all want to see. And just briefly, I'll tell you, we've got four people who are looking at running in Northeast Wisconsin. And I believe in Glenn Grothman's district, there are four people who have already filed. So yeah. Enthusiasm is high. Get involved. Even if it feels impossible, get involved in some sort of a meaningful way. There is a place for you at the table.
So there you go. You've heard the pluses, the minuses of primaries and support behind them. And in all cases, there is room for you to increase your civic engagement. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then for the rest who are sticking around here, Jimmy Cusco will be out along and we'll talk about, how about those Brewers, 10 in a row? Yeah, that's a pretty fun thing to talk about. I think we'll do that after this. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
More fiber and laxatives, eh?
Who are you?
I'm future you.
Future me?
Constipation with belly pain still coming back?
Our doctor figured it out. It's irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. And Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-511-3535. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-511-3535. 800-511-3535.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710, and I can build the perfect package for your business.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
We have to find a better solution to prop up this industry. And, you know, I think we made some strides on that front, but there's still plenty of more work that needs to be done to addressing child care shortages here in the state. Really, what I think we really need to be creative on is how do we get more providers into underserved areas? And, you know, I think that's one area where a number of my colleagues, I think of individuals like Representative Pat Snyder, and he's been a leader on this front. Senator Romaine Quinn has some innovative ideas that, while they didn't get incorporated in the state budget, I do think you're going to see standalone bills that get worked on over the course of this fall and into early next year that hopefully go to help deal with the affordability issue, but also making sure that we're doing what we can to get more providers, especially in our underserved childcare deserts.
You mentioned earlier how important it was to get this budget done, especially before the union bill kind of went through and everything. When it comes to that, another thing I think that we need to keep in mind is this was holding back other work getting done. Now this is done, other work is able to get done, and hopefully some of that is addressing some of the concerns out there that people have.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this budget process was unique, just from a process standpoint, because, you know, we'd be in co-chairs, myself, Senator Markline, Representative Kurtz, Representative Bourne, we'd be negotiating, you know, various parts of the budget, and oftentimes we would have to hit the pause button because there'd be negotiations ongoing that were a broader discussion between the governor, the speaker, and Leader Lemieux. And, you know, and on top of that, with everything that was going on at the federal level with the federal spending bill, you know, the big thing for us was making sure that we could leverage the hospital assessment. So there was language in the federal bill that Wisconsin's unique, that for years, most states are able to, on the hospital assessment tax, go up to 6%. Wisconsin was at about 1.8% of that hospital assessment tax. And there was language within that bill that had we not had our state budget passed and signed into law, that we would have been basically iced out. And that would have cost the state roughly $1 billion. And essentially, we would have been punished. And thankfully, we were able to get that done. And now we're going to be able to leverage the 6%. And it's going to go a long way to fill in some of our costs to continue in our Medicaid budget. And, you know, it was really, I think that was the real jettison that got us to where we were. Because, you know, up until about 3 weeks ago, I didn't think any of us thought for sure that the feds were going to, you know, get the big, beautiful bill to the president's desk. And that's what really kickstarted the negotiations up again. And we moved at lightning quick speed to get this budget through both houses in an extraordinary session. And, you know, it was a bipartisan bill. And we had to rely on Democrat votes within the state Senate. And that meant there was a little bit more give and take and a lot of negotiations. And, you know, I think it's a credit to the leadership in both houses, as well as the governor's office and even the minority leader in the state Senate, that we came up with what I think is a workable budget that delivers a lot of wins for a lot of Wisconsinites and makes critical investments on things that we've done in previous budgets. And most importantly, again, it's the tax relief. It's the investments that we made into things like our agricultural road improvement program, making sure that, you know, we're investing in our farm to market roads. And, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for in this budget. And I'm just I'm thankful it's over.
I can imagine. When it comes to the concern that I'm sure, whether it's, you know, directly you've heard from constituents or it's just in, you know, the masses and media or what have you, there's all we're hearing, it feels like every morning we're waking up and we're hearing the word cuts. And it's to this program or it's to that program. And different people are concerned for different reasons. How are you and your colleagues empathizing with that and addressing that?
Well, I would say, you know, when you take a look at the budget document that the governor submitted to the legislature in his budget address, it is a night and day difference compared to the one that he signed into law. Now, you know, certainly, you know, when you take a look at like the UW system budget, you know, they were asking for an additional just shy of $900 million increase. That was probably not in the realm of reality. And instead they got roughly, we invested nearly $250 million in UW system. It was the largest increase in the last 20 years. And so while it may not go as far as everyone likes, we have to understand, though, that the pie is only so big, and making sure that at the end of the day that we have a budget that balances, that we're setting future legislatures up for success. And at the same time, we were still able to make huge investments in infrastructure, UW, healthcare, record tax cuts. And so, and not only that, the investments that we made in the K-12 education, you know, probably the biggest issue that we heard as we went around the state was the need for the increase in special education reimbursement and, you know, record investments. You know, we're going to 45% within the second year of the biennium. This is going to free up a lot of resources for schools' general funds. And so for a lot of our cash-strapped districts, especially in rural communities, this is going to go a long way to freeing up resources for them while at the same time providing the support for those students that need it most in special education.
I think one of the concerns that I have and I know that I hear from people is this idea of, so I think on a ground level, you know, when it comes to like Representative Krug or somebody like yourself, we're pretty fortunate in this area. We see you guys, we interact with you guys quite a bit, and we see you guys interacting in the communities quite a bit. On a national level, whether we're talking the highest of positions or Congress or what have you, there is a growing concern of, you know, how can you relate to us? You know, with all these cuts, with all these different things happening, how can you, in your position, relate to your constituents? And that divide happening, getting bigger and bigger for a lot of people, that's becoming more and more of a concern. You know, and especially when we get thrown at us, well, you just got to tough it up.
Or, hey, just tough it out. Well, how are you toughening out? The people saying this. I think that that's something that I'm hoping I should say, at least, that not only you yourself, but your colleagues are paying attention to, because that is, chickens come home to roost. They always do. And whether it's at the election, during an election or something like that, these things are going to come to head. People are freaking out. They're scared. And that's a time when we need politicians to step up and do their job the most, is to address that. And
you were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The pilot of a Delta Connection flight from Minneapolis to Minot, North Dakota, told passengers he had to swerve to avoid colliding with a B-52 bomber.
For those of you on the right-hand side, you probably saw the airplane kind of sort of coming at us. Nobody told us about it.
There's an Air Force base nearby. SkyWest says it's investigating. Severe storms swept the East and Midwest over the weekend. CBS's Rob Marciano.
In the Midwest, hail up to the size of softballs battering this storm chaser's windshield in Nebraska. And this funnel cloud spotted in Indiana as more severe storms threaten the Ohio Valley.
A 102-year-old D-Day survivor and TikTok star who regaled young people with his war stories has died.
I'm just a country boy. If it weren't for TikTok, I would not be reaching any of these people.
His granddaughter says Papa Jake Larson died peacefully, cracking jokes until the very end. CBS